Well, let's turn to the book of Ruth as we complete our series today. We've been in the book of Ruth, and we've had seven lessons in the book of Ruth, and I think it's been quite a study for our walk with the Lord today. We're going to do our final lesson on Ruth, and we'll go to Ruth chapter 4, and we'll begin again in verse 10. We left last week with verse 10. We'll pick it up from verse 10. Now recall, and if you haven't had a chance to listen, these lessons are online at www.gracechristiancenter.us. Thanks to Dan and Roxanne. We really appreciate you guys' work for us every week. We followed Naomi to Moab and back to Israel. Naomi left with her family out of Bethlehem, which is meaning the house of bread, because it was a time of famine. There was no bread. So they went to Moab, where they weren't supposed to go. These were people that had a very contentious relationship off and on with Israel over the course of time. They were, in essence, their cousins. If you recall, Moab was the offspring of Lot and his daughter in an incestuous relationship after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But we've watched Naomi and Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And we've seen Ruth become such a daughter, not a daughter-in-law, but a daughter to Naomi, and serve her with love. Naomi lost her husband. He died. Lost her two sons. Ruth's husband, one of those sons, he passed away. And Ruth and Naomi make their way back to Israel, to Bethlehem, to the house of bread. Two destitute women, probably as poor, if you will, as the woman in the New Testament with the two mites. Two poor, destitute women. Literally no guarantee of anything good to come their way. But they made a simple decision to return to the house of bread. To go back to the house of God. And it just so happened they ended up, or Ruth ended up working. She did the gleaning, which was a person of destitution could follow behind the reapers, if you will, in harvest season, and they could glean from the leavings in the field. It was God's way in Israel of taking care of the needy. And she gleaned and labored hard and long to find food for she and Naomi. And it just so happened, God's coincidence, that Ruth ended up in the field of Boaz, an honorable man, a mighty man of valor, the Bible says, of Gideon, and it said the same thing of Boaz, one of the wealthiest men in Bethlehem, but in the day of the judges, if you recall your history, he was a man of character when everybody else was doing what was right. Remember, how does it finish? In their own eyes. Women would be raped in the fields, and so Boaz turned to Ruth and said, "Stay here by my workers, you'll be safe." He's a man of character and integrity in this time. And then, finally, we come to Ruth asking him to extend the border of his garment to cover her. A marriage proposal, if you will, because Boaz was the nearest kinsman redeemer that she knew of and Naomi knew of. And he was honored with the request, and he says, "There's one closer than I. Let's go find out if I can indeed marry you, because I would be honored to do so. And with that marriage, I would take care of Naomi as well." Last week, our lesson was about finding out the fulfillment that indeed the nearest kinsman said, when he thought he could buy the land, said, "I'll take it." When he found out it came with Ruth, he said, "No, thank you." But Boaz said, "Are you kidding? She's hot stuff. I want her." She didn't choose a guy with abs. She wants me. So anyway, he's a generation older than she is, and it's a precious story, really, as you take a look at this short four-chapter book of Ruth. Let's pick it up in verses 10 and 11, and I'm going to break it up with some perspectives. Number one, say it with me, please. The kinsman redeemer's bride. Say it one more time. The kinsman redeemer's bride. Now, if you have a scripture, open it up so you see it yourself. I have it up here. We have Bibles on the back. "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses to this day." He had gathered elders around him, talked to the nearest kinsman redeemer who turned him down. The guy takes off his shoe and hands it to Boaz. And in essence, it was a statement in that day among the eldership in the community. "This is your land. You walk on it. I give up my right to it." And so he says, "You are witnesses this day." There's an excitement. There's a joy in his heart. "You guys are my witnesses. I get Ruth and I get the land." All the people who were at the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The kinsman redeemer takes a bride. And everybody knows and sees it. When God has a baby, what happened in the New Testament? Anybody remember? Could you see it in the sky? The light breaks out. There's a choir of angels are singing glory to God. Hallelujah. That's his version of cigars. He's handing out songs and lightning bolts. And everybody's full of rejoicing. The shepherds see it. God didn't do it quietly. And this didn't happen quietly either. Witnesses see the blessing of the Lord. And they hear about the bride-to-be. Now, witness in the Hebrew is the word aid. It's A-Y-D, but it's pronounced aid. And it means witness, testimony, recorder. We are recorders of the truth of what has just transpired. You are going to be the kinsman redeemer of Ruth and Naomi. Say, thank you, kinsman redeemer Jesus. How many are glad for Jesus in this room? Witnesses, they see it. They declare what they've seen. How many in this room are witnesses to Jesus, our Redeemer? We're witnesses to Him. There's a living testimony, and it's lived out in front of everyone. They could see the blessing. They could testify of what God has done, and God's just given Him a bride. And God's got a bride. Look around at each other saying, you are in the bride of Christ, if you surrendered your life to Jesus. They could declare Boaz as a mighty man of integrity and worth and valor and testify to the same of Ruth. Same word was used of her. She had integrity and character. She labored and she loved her mom and loved her new God as she surrendered to Him. They could all testify. Remember, regardless of the outcomes, she clung to Naomi and to Naomi's God. Integrity, honest, righteous living. Psalm 45 verse 13 says, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Now gold in the Bible is a picture of holiness. When you were picked up by Jesus and surrendered your life to Him, He washed you off, made you all glorious within, and clothed you with holiness. Aren't you glad for that? He picked us up and washed us off. Anybody in this room, you don't have to tell me what it was, ever sin? Did you, like me, ever find that you needed Jesus? I got saved because I needed to. Some of you are looking at me like, what'd He do? I can just tell you, I got saved because I needed to. And Jesus washed me clean by His blood and made me one of His family, the daughter of God, the bride of Christ, all these analogies, but all glorious within, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Let's be witnesses for Him. I'm part of His bride, and so are you. Number two, the kinsmen redeemers, say it with me, please. Blessing. The blessing. Ruth chapter 4, 11 and 12. The Lord make the woman, Boaz, who is coming to your house, like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel, and may you prosper in Ephrata and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, or Phares, it says in other places, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. Now, it is so appropriate in this verse that Rachel was put first, because Rachel was the loved, the favored, the faithful, but the barren wife for the first many years. There was no offspring from her, remember? Leah started bearing all the children, but not Rachel. And so Rachel had several years childless in the same way that Ruth did in Moab. She was married to Mahlon, but had no children. And what he's really saying here, what they're saying is the blessing that comes from the kinsman redeemer is, may you be fertile and may you be productive. May you add to the generations of the Lord. So too, be productive like Rachel and Leah. They built the house of God. How many are a part of building the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? How many are a part of building God's local church? And so the blessing to the redeemed is, go out and have a bunch of spiritual babies. Intimacy with God produces offspring in Jesus as you share Him with other people. You get to share the good news and you get to encourage them and pray for them and lead them to forgiveness and you get to birth some spiritual babies and be fruitful and be productive. That's part of the kinsman redeemer's blessing. Their prayer was for the house, their house, to be famous and prosperous, that they would have standing. And the word prosperous in the Hebrew is the same word again as valor, mighty men of valor, mighty woman of valor, that there'd be a standing and a prosperity and an understanding as people look at you as the church of Jesus, that you have the presence of God. There's integrity, righteousness, and character there. How many know that's what the church of Jesus all across our land needs to be seen as? Too many times people backbite, sow discord, divide, and it is a political situation, and God says, that's not my house. I want my house to be a house of prayer and a house of blessing, a house of forgiveness, a house of restoration, a house where the Redeemer kinsman Jesus is glorified. Then you can be famous in the land. Hey, have you heard about Grace Christian Center? Come with me to church. You'll love these people. You'll love them. They sing some older songs sometimes and kind of country, but you'll love them. There's something about the presence of God that we want to touch. We want to know. All right. Like Rachel and Leah. Then he says, like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Now, this was, he was one of the five houses. Perez was one of the five houses to which all of Judah belonged. In other words, this is a house of influence. May you be a house of prominence, clean, righteous, and also be a house of influence. A head, the leader, blessed like that. So many people today don't recognize and honor the place of Jesus and the place of the church. You'll go back 100 years, the Bible was still accepted in our schools, and we didn't kick God out, and there were the blue laws. We call them blue laws now. You couldn't even hardly shop on Sunday, right? That you don't even have to go back that many years for that. And there was respect. You didn't use God's name in vain. And you talked about going to church, and a lot of people went to church just because it was their habit, but there was a respect given to it. May you be a house of respect and influence in the community. Salt. Light. People should be able to look at us and our countenance and say, there's something different about you. You're redeemed by Jesus, aren't you? Well, they may not get that, but you can tell them that. What's different about you? I'm redeemed by Jesus, who loves me. Both Ephrathah, by the way, and Bethlehem were the same names for the same, or were names for the same community. To have might and strength, fame and renown in this land. Basically, the blessing here is, may you be blessed with productivity and influence. Proverbs 10:22. Watch what the scripture says. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. You can be a bazillionaire winning the lottery. How many know there are a lot of broken-hearted lottery winners around as their lives are destitute because they put their trust in riches rather than their trust in the God who makes rich in soul and spirit and adds no sorrow to it. Listen to the blessing, Ezekiel 34, verse 26. I will make them, out of the New King James verse, and all the places all around my hill, a blessing. And I will cause, say it with me please, showers to come down in their season. There will be showers of blessing. Now the New Living Testament says this verse this way. I will bless my people in their homes around my holy hill. And in the proper season, I will send the showers they need. There will be showers of blessing. Ever been around on a real hot Eastern Washington day and just asked the Lord to give you a little sweet shower? Well, if you look like this skin, you pray that way every now and then. Blessed. The people of God receive blessing. We belong to our kinsman redeemer, and he brings us blessing. Number three, the kinsman redeemer's, say it with me please, bounty. The kinsman redeemer's bounty. Look at verses 13 through 15. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception. Remember, we were talking about babies a few moments ago. And she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, please say the phrase with me, who has not left you this day. Who has not left you this day without a kinsman redeemer. And may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Restorer of life, nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, this is beautiful, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons has borne him. Hasn't Ruth been more precious than the sons that Naomi lost? Such a beautiful picture. The redemption is complete. The intimacy occurs between the kinsman redeemer and his bride, and the result is a baby. Intimacy with Jesus once again brings fruit, spiritual fruit, and there's life and there's countenance, and there's an opportunity with that radiant countenance you have in your neighborhood or at your community or at the grocery store. When you're radiating the love of Jesus, not phony, but just thankful to be redeemed, you can invite somebody else to come and go to the house of the Lord with you. Come to church with me on Sunday mornings. How come you're so happy? Because Jesus saved me and is my Redeemer. Isn't that news worth sharing? Take me with you. Take me to your leader. Well, Pastor Kev, I still have problems. And I still have debts. And I have health issues. And I still have issues. Well, all God's kids got issues. Turn to each other and say, I know you got issues. But isn't it far, far better to know the Lord, His blessing, His bounty, His provision? Isn't it far better to be forgiven? Yes. Come on, I said, isn't it far better to be forgiven?
Yes.
Come on, I said, isn't it far better to be forgiven?
Yes.
Man, oh man, you look at me and say, I don't know if this life is really worth it. What if Jesus isn't real? Well, what if He isn't? You lived a lot cleaner than the alternative. And you didn't kill yourself with drugs and decimate your life with disease. And you live nice to each other, mostly. Isn't there a life that's worth living with Jesus as our Redeemer? Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, the restorer of life, the word restore is the Hebrew word shub. Say it with me. Shub. And it means basically to restart or to return to the starting point. Restorer of life. Just like you were brand new again. That's what Jesus does when He redeems us. Just as if I'd never sinned. Now, you got to get a load of what this next one is. You ready? Nourisher in your old age. The Hebrew word, I'm not kidding, is cool. K-O-O-L. Say, that's cool. And in the Hebrew, it means hip, groovy, happening. No, not really. That's cool. Nourisher in your old age, and it literally means to keep you, to measure, to maintain, to be present and make provision. This offspring is going to protect you and maintain you. And He's going to be present and help be provision to you. How many love your grandkids? Maybe I should say it the other way. How many don't love your grandkids? No. You love your grandkids. In fact, everybody in the room with grandkids, you've got the best looking ones, right? Turn to each other and say, mine are better than yours. Now, come on, no fighting, no fighting. It's just, I know you really believe that. But we're grateful for our kids and our grandkids, and some of us are grieved for them, and we pray that they'll surrender to the Lord too. What greater joy is there to see them in relationship with you as you age? I said you age. As we age, and we love to have them by our side, so we keep praying for them. That's say the Hebrew word with me. That's cool. See, you learn something. If you only carry away that, that's not good. The blessed restoration and redemption of our kinsman redeemer will restore your youth, the Bible says, like the eagles. Restore your nourishment and your life in your old age. Spiritual and natural children. We want kids here. The future of the church is with children. Healthy, life-giving offspring. The kinsman redeemers bounty. We've got the Redeemer's bounty and provision and blessing. And He wants His church full of life. Number four, the kinsman Redeemer's, please say it with me, beauty. The kinsman Redeemer's beauty. Verses 16 through 22. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor woman gave him a name. The women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." They called his name Obed. Now they couldn't name the child, but they could suggest the name of the child, and that's what this really refers to. But they called his name Obed. Now watch. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse, well, he begot King David, the most important king Israel has ever known. The most wonderful king. Did I say perfect? No. But the greatest king they've ever known. God's blessing through the kinsman Redeemer has made a broken-hearted, embittered woman named Naomi beautiful again. How about you? In the secret heart of hearts that you don't need to tell anybody about this morning, is there a place of bitterness? Is there a place of hurt? Debt, distressed. There are four D's, the gathering of people all around David when he was on the run. Remember, in debt, distress, and whatever else. I don't remember the two, but have you been hurt by somebody? Somebody been disloyal? Maybe you're just plain depressed. Your kinsman Redeemer, Jesus, knows you exactly who you are, exactly where you are right now. Today. Your kinsman Redeemer Jesus loves you. And a bitter, hurt woman became Naomi, whose name means pleasant all over again, as they laid a little baby in her arms. A destitute woman with no guarantee, two women just like that. All of a sudden, within 6 months, maybe, of harvest, marriage, provision. Now, it's a little longer for the baby to come. Some of you go, let's see, he's got his math messed up. But within year and a half. Okay, is that better? Year and a half. But within a short period of time, their lives are completely different. I know that Jesus can minister to you in the same way. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you provision out of your debt. I'm guaranteeing you the provision of one who loves you so much and a family who will care for you on the journey. Because we celebrate together the kinsman Redeemer. The redemption of Jesus is a thing of beauty. Remember the demoniac who was delivered and they were amazed as he sat at Jesus' feet in his right mind. But I got to tell you, hang in there with me. When you boil it all down, doesn't this whole story, including our lives, including the genealogy of Jesus Himself, doesn't it boil down to two hungry hearts who said, let's go back to the house of God. You look at me this morning and you say, big deal, I can make choices all day long. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how I do it. My life's just messed up. That's the way it's going to be. Simple choice. It's time for me to give my life to Jesus. Or it's time for me to turn around and get back to God's house. It's time for me to quit holding myself off from people who say, come to church, and people who love me. It's time for me to get back into the Word of God. It's time for me to believe one more time that there's a kinsman redeemer named Jesus who loves me. A young minister was walking with an older, more seasoned minister in a garden one day. He was feeling a little bit insecure, this young man, about what God had called him to do, and he was asking the older preacher for some advice. So the older preacher took a moment and walked up to a rose bush, and he handed to the young preacher a rosebud. And he gave him these words of instruction: open it without tearing off any of the petals. The young man looked at him with disbelief and thought to himself, this older preacher's crazy. What does this have to do with how do I find the will of God for my life and ministry? I'm hurting here. Come on, help me out. And it wasn't long, as he started to try to do what the older preacher had told him to do, that he realized how impossible it was to open the petals without tearing them off. After a few moments, noticing the younger preacher's inability to unfold the rosebud without tearing it, the older preacher began to recite this poem. It's only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design. But I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. God opens this flower so easily, but in my hands, they die. If I cannot open and unfold a rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I have the wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust in God for leading me each moment of the day. I'll look to God for guidance in each step of the way. The path that lies before me, only my Lord knows. I'll trust God to unfold the moments just as He unfolds the road. There's peace in the shelter of His arms. If you find yourself in a bitter place this morning, if you find yourself needing to forgive someone else, do it. Let yourself out of prison. But first receive the forgiveness of Jesus, His mercy and His love to you. Aren't you glad there's peace in the shelter of His arms?
Yes, amen.
The redeemed gets a new day. And that's the good news. Let's stand, please. Father, we thank You this morning that You're our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. Thanks for all the good things that You've done for us and continue to do for us. Thanks for providing Your peace and strength, and You take embittered hearts and make them new. And that's cool. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You'll bless each one that's come to this place this morning. Lord, we love You because You first loved us. And I, for one, I'm more in love with You now than when I walked through the door this morning.
Yes.
As I'm reminded of what You've done for me through Your Word. Guide each person this week with healing, with strength, with power and life. And remind them, Lord, that You are the great kinsman redeemer. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life personally to Jesus, it's not a mental assent that does it. It's personally praying and surrendering to Him. We'd be honored to pray with you. Come on up as we close. If you need healing in your body, let the Lord minister healing to you. We believe He does that work. If you need a time of prayer with someone to get over something that maybe you need to forgive in order to receive the peace of your kinsman Redeemer, we'll be honored to do that.